find your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.
God's blessings and welcome to Walking in Faith. We're heading into the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, and this week we proclaim, O come, let us worship God and bow low before the God who made us, for he is the Lord our God. Our prayer this week, keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care, that, relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, they may be defended always by your protection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Coming up in our show today, we're going to bring you the sounds from the Philadelphia March for Life. This features Archbishop Joseph Coffey, Father Chris Walsh, and many other speakers, so you'll want to stay tuned and listen to that, as well as our very own Archbishop Nelson Perez. Right now, let's get started with prayer. We praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. Filled with trust, we pray that the church will preach and teach with authority, winning many to the gospel. We pray for all our governmental leaders, that they will pursue justice, truth, and the common good in the light of God's law. We pray for women who are victims of violence, that they may be protected by society and have their sufferings considered and healed. On the World Day of the Sick this week, we pray that those who are sick, especially the chronically ill, may know healing, friendship, and strength. We also pray that our parish community will grow in love and devotion for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We also pray for the grace this week to grasp the hand of those in need and raise them up. Loving Father, in you we take refuge. Incline your ear to us and save us. Be our fortress and stronghold through Christ our Lord. Amen. As I mentioned, we'll come right back from this short break and bring you the sounds of the Philadelphia March for Life. Stay tuned. And now we take you back to the Philadelphia March for Life, starting out with Archbishop Nelson Perez.
Cold enough for you? But it's warm inside, right?
Yes.
This is hallowed ground for our country, right?
Yes, it is.
Because this is where our country was born. And this is where our founding fathers said that we all have the right to light and happiness, right? And so we continue to pray that that life, that right to life will be respected. So I call you again to do what we do best, and that is to pray and to close your eyes and recognize that we are all in God's presence this morning. Is a gift from you, and in your hands from conception until death. Help us to cherish our children in and outside of the womb, and to reverence the awesome privilege of our share in creation. May all people live and die in dignity and love. Bless all those who defend the rights of the unborn, the handicapped, the ill, and the aged, and the immigrant. Enlighten and be merciful toward those who fail to love. Help them to find your wisdom and give them peace. Let freedom be tempered by responsibility, integrity, and morality. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here.
She's amazing, and she has an amazing, powerful story.
how she joined the pro-life movement in an unconventional way. Please welcome with me Ashley Garrett.
Children to live so that they may nothing will stop us until this most basic right is guaranteed for every one of our youngest citizens. Thank you for being here today. God bless you all. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Should we like junk for babies together to stay warm? Junk for babies, junk for babies, junk for babies. Good job, good job, good job. Roll your shoulders, stay warm. You guys are so committed. This is awesome. The next lady that I'm going to introduce you to, you know when you meet people and you just think, man, I wish they were like my mom that could be everyone's mom? This woman could be everyone's mom. And she has delivered plenty of babies. She's a pro-life OBGYN herself, a local Philadelphian. She's a co-founder of Philadelphia Servants, Sidewalk Servants. She'll get you plugged in to the pro-life community here. So if you want to do that after, find Dr. Monique Rivera. Welcome her to the stage.
Hi, guys. I am so excited to be out here with you guys. Okay. I love babies. Yes, I do. I love babies. How about you?
Escorts from Planned Parenthood are standing out there like vultures, and they're waiting
to try and intercede and get in between and prevent them from receiving the information that they need to choose life. But on this particular day, God made it so that 10 minutes before this couple showed up, the sidewalk escorts left. And as this couple walked up, and they were walking towards the gates of hell, and they put their hand on the door, Mark was able to call out to them and say, "Hey, I've got something for you. Just talk to me for 2 minutes." And this couple backtracked, they turned around, they took their hand off the door, they came over to Mark, and he started telling them about the love, about the life, about the precious blood of that child who was coursing in the veins within this mother. And he offered them the support, he offered them the community, he offered them all of you. He offered them the opportunity to save that child and to walk forward in a different way. And they took the opportunity. And then he walked down the street with them and they had coffee and chocolate croissants. And he took a picture of them, and that is the picture that Archbishop Perez was speaking of this morning. The glow on their faces, the peace in their hearts, knowing that they did not have to end the life of their child, knowing that their child was safe. And all of that was possible simply because Mark was out there as a sidewalk servant. Yesterday, she texted me, and she said, "I am so excited to be working with you guys." And I said, "I can't tell you how excited we are to help you and walk with you and love you." And she was like, "I know, and this is going to be so good." So now, guys, all I have to say is I am going to be standing over there at those tables. Each and every one of you, I need you to come and sign up to pray outside of the abortion centers. This is the most important thing you can do. And I know that sometimes giving things away will inspire people to act quickly. So I have books. They are 40 Days for Life books. They are my personal testimony books. And anybody who signs up for 4 2-hour shifts straight off the bat will get a book. And everybody else can get a button. But the books are way better than the buttons. So I'll even take a picture, I'll sign the book, whatever you want. I need every hour filled for our 40 Days for Life, which is starting very soon. And until 40 Days for Life, we still have spots that you can come out and pray with us, because we're out there every single day that these abortion centers are open. We are out there, and I need y'all with me. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much. I love you all. Great job. Thank you, Dr. Rivera. All right, you're all plugged into local activism. I'm so excited. You're going to change some hearts and minds. I want to tell you it's possible. I've seen it happen. I've gone to Times Square myself and changed a mind on abortion. People like Dr. Rivera, 40 Days for Life, Live Action, we can teach you and show you how to do it. It's doable, guys. People, we think if we're pro-life and they're pro-abortion, then they've come to their decision educated. I can't tell you how many times that's not the truth. Can't tell you how many times they just haven't been presented a logical argument or someone to answer their hard question. So get plugged in, get educated, it'll save a life. The next speaker for us is the wonderful Reverend Herb Alessa III of Greater Exodus Baptist Church. Where is his congregants? He's got a local radio show. He's a committed pro-life Philadelphian. Please welcome him to the stage.
All right, that's enough noise for me. Now let's make some noise for Jesus. Come on. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, come on. Come on, let everybody on the side hear you. Come on, come on. That's much better. Listen, I was asked a very important question by one of my closest friends. And he said to me, Herb, before I went into the ministry, he said, "Herb, what kind of preacher, what kind of man of God do you want to be? Do you want to be a man of God that is popular, or do you want to be a man of God that is powerful?" And I stand here today to let you know that the issue that we are standing and marching for today, it may not be popular, but it's powerful. And the reason why it's powerful is because it goes right to the heart of God. And I want to say something to you today. In the book of Genesis, it was where Cain killed his brother Abel. God said to him, he said, "What have you done? The blood of your brother cries out to me from the streets." Now hear me very closely. The first form of blood that is crying out before all of us here would agree with, is the millions of lives that have been aborted. The millions of lives that have been lost. Purposes that God had ordained and decreed for each of those lives to walk out in. That blood is crying out to us today. We cannot be silent. We cannot stop just at a march. We cannot just stop on one day, the sanctity of life. But we must make a choice and a conscious decision every moment we get, every opportunity we get to speak about life. I want to challenge you with something this afternoon as I stand before you. Each and every one of you knows somebody who is on the other side of the fence. You know somebody. Come on, raise your hand if you know somebody who's on the other side of the fence. They may be your mother. They may be your father. They may be your best friend. They may be somebody you go to school with. But the fact of the matter is, everybody here, under the sound of my voice, has an opportunity to change the atmosphere of where they are. I ask you, once you leave this session here today, think of that one person. It doesn't have to be a mass, just that one person. If each person under the sound of my voice will take one person in their life and tell them how important life is. It was Jesus who said that he came that we might have life and life more abundantly. We must not be ashamed to speak that message. But then here is the second blood that is crying out on the streets. The second blood that's crying out on the streets are those who we've tried to win over by not using the message of love. I'm saying to you today, everybody who is under the sound of my voice, I was marching and I heard them. The protesters were giving us the middle finger. There were people who were standing, they were fingering us, they were saying F you. They were saying all kinds of different things toward us. Please hear me very closely. It is not hate that turns away hate. We cannot promote this message with a message of hate. It is only love that can change the heart of hate. It is only love. And it is also our responsibility to show that heart of compassion, that heart of faith. And before our next speaker comes up, I think they asked me to pray, so I ask you to lift your hands with me now. Ask everybody to lift their hands and begin to pray with me in boldness that this can change. But we must believe by faith and in love that God will do the work. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today. And Lord, even though we're cold, even though we've been out here, God, this is a small inconvenience. I pray right now that you break every prideful spirit that cannot see the issue of life. You said in your word that you came that we might have life. You said in your word that you want us to cast our cares on you. How can we cast our cares on you if we have no life? God, I pray for those purposes even right now that people don't understand that are being brought into fruition by a newborn baby coming into this world. I pray, Father, that all of our neighborhoods will be affected by our passion. All of our homes will be affected by the love of Christ. God, as this blood cries out on the streets before you, Lord, let it well up in our spirits until we get a righteous indignation to make a conscious effort of every single day of our lives to devote to promoting life. God, as I stand here before you, it is only love that will do this. I echo the words of even my late grandfather who told me, just as he told my father, never let anybody beat you, love it. God, as my grandfather said that to me, I echo it to everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, help us to love. Help us to have a heart of forgiveness. Help us to have a heart of bringing people to you. You said that you came not to call the righteous, but you came to call the sinner unto repentance. God, I pray that a spirit of repentance will reach the heart of not just the people who are listening to us around this area right now, but it will reach every single person that we come in contact with. God, I know that you're able to turn the hearts of men. The Bible says that the king's heart is in your hand, and you can turn it whichever way you desire. I ask you to turn hearts. I ask you, God, to give everybody your righteous indignation until they can't sleep, until they weep in their beds with conviction about how much we need to stand for life. I pray, Father, for that rebellious spirit, even right now, who is fighting. I pray, Father, that you will not allow them to rest. I pray that you will not allow them to sleep, Father, until they see the damage that they are doing by killing babies in the womb. I speak life and not death. I speak hope and not despair. Just as Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. God, I'm not ashamed to stand for life. Bless us and keep us, Father, and give us the strength to continue to fight on. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you, Reverend. Great job. I want you to join me in welcoming a woman that I look up to a lot. She is a wife, a mom, a veteran, a former professor, someone that I've had the chance to meet and cover at Live Action News, and she's going to share with you her heart. So listen in, please. I'd say huddle close. I know it's cold, but stay strong, and please welcome Kathy Barnett to the stage.
Oh, let me tell you, we serve an amazing God. I see familiar faces already. We serve an awesome God. He's amazing. And I am so very grateful that at the age of 19, he called me, opened up the eyes of my understanding. And I had the wonderful opportunity of surrendering my life to him. But my story doesn't start there, like most people's stories don't start at the moment of conversion. Let me just say, I am so excited to see so many young people out here. I love it. I love it. It's the reason why I brought my 12-year-old daughter with me. We have to tell our young people about our values. Our values do not just fall out of the sky and miraculously become a part of their thinking. We have to share our values with our young people. And also, we have to share our values with others. We have to unclutch our pearls. We have to start opening our mouths. And we have to start speaking truth with a smile, with love. We have to start speaking it out loud, not assuming people are just going to see your little light shine and suddenly know what our values are. I want to encourage you to do that. But I am here to tell you about my story. And it is not, it's a story I've been very reluctant all my life to really share. Until a couple of years ago when God began to make it very clear that if my story has the ability to save one life, then I could not be selfish and just keep it to myself, but that I needed to share it. I am the byproduct of a rape. My mother was 11 years old when I was conceived. She was 12 when I was born. And I am a human being. I am not a choice. I am not just a lump of cells. I am a person. I am a person who had a purpose imparted in them. I grew up very impoverished, but by the grace of God, I began to see my purpose and began to walk I am a mother to amazing children who would have died in me at that moment. Right? Because we know science, right? We're the side who truly are pro-science, right? And all of my eggs were in my tummy. And had my mother and my grandmother had looked at the situation, and I'm not here saying that an 11-year-old child, that anything was pretty about that. There's nothing beautiful. My baby is 12. I would be devastated if something so horrid became a part of my family's life, a part of my child's life. And yet, there I was. I did choose to be conceived in the manner in which I was, but yet there I was. Killing me would not have made anything right for my mother. Killing me would not have resolved the wrong that had been inflicted upon my mother. Because y'all know, even in the church, we have two exceptions to the rule, right? I'm one of those exceptions for a reason to murder a human being. I am, because of how I was conceived. Had I been aborted, that wrong that was inflicted upon my mother, it still plagues my mother. Today, I have the wonderful opportunity of taking care of my mother. Whereas my grandmother was a net for me and my mother, she caught us and she preserved us, and I was loved as a child. I today get to be a net for my mother, who is still suffering from some of the brokenness in her own life. I would not have been there to catch my mother, and she will be floating in the wind. I tell my story because I want you young people especially, because we are living in a culture of death, where they not only do it to themselves, but they applaud others who do it as well. They're codifying abortion into the code that came out today. So this is the culture in which we're living in. And that is why I say we must unclutch our pearls and begin to open our mouths. No one is going to know your values by just watching your life alone. We have to start speaking truth. We have to start opening our mouths and stop being ashamed of truth. Stop being ashamed of science. Stop allowing those who have the morality of a slop bucket tell us what is right and what is wrong. They don't get to tell us what's right and what's wrong. I am a human being. And from me, by the grace of God, I went on to finish college, the first in my family to go to college. I spent 10 years in the U.S. Army Reserve, where I was accepted into officer candidacy school. I worked in the Wall Street environment in corporate America, an adjunct professor of corporate finance. I authored my first book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America, that went number one, by the way. I am regularly on television. I ran for Congress for the 4th Congressional District of Pennsylvania. I've homeschooled my kids. My life has value. My life has value. And had they murdered me, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. My children wouldn't be here. And no one would be there to catch my mother. I am a productive citizen. Do not allow anyone to tell you that it's nothing but a clump of cells, that you as a woman have the right to play God to determine if someone's life has value or not. Stand up and be bold. Stop being afraid. Stop allowing those with the morality of a slop bucket tell you what is right and wrong. Stand for the next little black girl or boy, the next little white girl.
you. Isn't she amazing? Give her another round of applause. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I have some really good news. I'm your last speaker for this morning. I know you've been out here, guys. I just want to say one thing. Moms are the best. And if you're really hurting for certain, my mom is here from New Jersey. If you need a sandwich or gloves or water, she's right here.
How was she doing? Why would she leave my dad?
Now, thankfully, my dad was connected back and was raised by the Catholic Brothers of Charity in Philadelphia. He's an amazing dad, and he runs a youth ministry in Jersey. And I tease that I'm sure he put the fun in dysfunctional, running around Philadelphia without parents. But it's always moved me that my grandmother, who I've never met, chose to leave him somewhere that he would at least be found. And we were at a church service, and my dad, he gave us that idea. He was doing a Mother's Day service for the youth group, and he said, I don't care how you feel about your mom, if you're warm or cold, but your mom chose life for you. And that is all my dad has to thank his mom for, is choosing life for him and leaving him somewhere that he would be found. And because of that, I have dedicated my life to making sure no woman feels alone like my grandmother felt. I want to make sure no kid feels unwanted like I'm sure my dad felt at times. And I can't help but wonder who among you in your lineage could have connected with her. Think about that. A woman in a CVS looking scared, getting a pregnancy test. Maybe that's your moment. Maybe it's someone commenting online. Maybe that's your moment. Maybe it's today. But those conversations can save a life. And because someone said to my grandmother, congratulations, you look great pregnant. Or, you're gonna be a great mom, you are a great mom. She chose life. But she needed more support, right? That's what you guys are here for. That's what your 2021 is gonna look like. You are gonna come around women in unplanned pregnancies and planned pregnancies and say, you're an amazing mom already, right now. How can I help you? How can I support you? That's what the future of the pro-life movement looks like. And I can't wait to one day get to heaven and see all the little lives that are cheering you on in every conversation that you have. Crowd of this size, we have some lives that were lost to abortion, and I'm not going to make you raise your hand if you've had an abortion or a man that was involved in one, but I just want us to see we're all connected to it. If you know someone who's had an abortion, raise your hand. Okay, this is so close to all of us. Maybe you know or maybe you don't know. They need to see love from you and the truth from you. And it does no one any service to be lied to continually. I've met way too many post-abortive women that have come to me and said, if just one person was there for me, I would have chosen life. So many women have said that. I want you to be that one person. So today, go home. If you don't know what to say or email or post, say, hey, if you're ever in an unplanned pregnancy, come to me. I will help you. I want to connect you. I'm here for you. In all of our activism, in our justice, and in our truth, we have to be the ones ready in open arms. Because guess what? A woman that's abortion-minded can't go to the abortion industry side, right? They're not going to get unbiased help. The abortion industry sees a pregnant woman and sees an opportunity to make money from that abortion, and secondly, potentially, if it's in certain facilities, from connecting with researchers and harvesting those baby organs for profit. They see money. They make money off of this woman. That's how they will counsel them towards abortion. The pro-life side is where an abortion-minded woman needs to look here and know we have nothing to gain but life for them. We all do this for life. Make sure that you are a welcome place for these women and men to land. Men, we need you. Thank you for being here. Let's give a round of applause for pro-life men. I love a pro-life man. I married one.
need you guys. You are the leaders. You are called to protect the innocent, to speak up for the vulnerable. You are a part of this. Your voice is welcome here, in love and in truth. Women need to see strong men being strong men and stepping up and loving the women that they help to bring life into the world with. You heard those girls. I love it. Girls, do not settle for anything less than a strong man that will commit to you for forever. You are so worthy and beautiful and good, and you are the highest apple on the tree, and you make him climb that tree. A good man will work hard for a good woman. Let him go if he won't climb that tree for the fruit that's worth it. Guys, this is your year to change your mind, to save a life. You are the truth tellers. This has been a wild year. Crazy things are happening in Washington, D.C. and across our country. You stay focused. You know what you know. You have the support of millions, millions of Americans and a global pro-life movement that's watching us. I can't tell you at Live Action, we this year had calls from Bogota, Ireland, New Zealand. They're watching us. We hold out hope for them. For every abortion facility that's out there, we have set up 3 pregnancy resource centers. That's what we're doing. So if someone tells you you're just pro-birth, it's a lie. We are taking care of moms and children and families across this country way more than the abortion industry ever has or ever will. I'm proud of you. We are so proud of you. We fight this good fight together. Let's work our way out of this. I don't want to have to keep marching in the snow, in the rain, in the cold. We are going to end abortion. Say it with me. End abortion. End abortion. End abortion. Thank you, guys. Have a best day.
Check. Hey everybody, I'm Tom Stevens, President and CEO of Pro-Life Union. Thank you for being here today. We got 3 minutes left and then we're going to have some more music. We're going to pray in a moment, pray you out, and then please, you're free to go. But if you want to join for some more music, we'd love to hear you. I got 3 things. Number one, hopefully you received one of these cards and it says, how can you become more involved in the pro-life movement locally? Go to prolifeunion.org. On the other side, it says, how can you help defray the cost for today? And so I'm asking you, will you each give $10, $10 to help defray the cost? And there's a couple different ways. And
Lord, that they just step out and pray that our witness. The reality is that's not the case. There were folks who lived and work. If you just...
You received one of these cards, and it says, how can you... today? And so... It's for family and life.
Right? You'll see pictures of so many who have come from other nations to get pictures with that bell, to touch that bell. And so our prayer today is that one day we can bring it. The reality is that's not the case.
Christopher Walsh. Give him a round of applause and he's going to pray us out.
Thanks so much, Tom. A round of applause for Tom Stevens who put this together in the last couple weeks. Along with Claire Pinto, who's back here, who did so much of the work. If you just look over here for 1 second at these red sort of columns and chimneys in this class, anyone know what that spot is?
Okay, that was where Washington lived, this property back when our country was declaring its independence and freedom, and where the bell that people are lined up to hear ring once hung in that tower and rang and has been this place of liberty. But at one point, there were folks who lived there who weren't free. That Liberty Bell didn't ring with liberty for them. They were the slaves of the Washington family. And so while we want to celebrate that since 1776, all Americans have been free, the reality is that's not the case. There were folks who lived on this property who didn't have the rights that others did. And throughout history, from 1776, one of the things that makes our country so great is that we would recognize that and then move forward and share those rights with others. And we stand here today because the unborn child deserves the full rights of every human being. They deserve the right to life and liberty and pursue happiness outside the womb. Amen? And so we're praying that that liberty be extended to them by the power of God, the way it was extended to so many other groups from this place. If you know it or not, so many come to this place from other countries. And if you go through the Liberty Bell, and that might be how you warm up after today, right? You'll see pictures of so many who have come from other nations to get pictures with that bell, to touch that bell. And so our prayer today is that one day we can ring it when freedom truly is given to every American citizen. We heard folks cry out, we need to do more. One more raising of hands. How many of you have an empty bedroom in your house? Well, we might have a woman and child who needs it. And so again, that's what we have to go back to. We did that early on in the pro-life movement. That's how we build a culture of life. So again, if you're ready to take a woman in from Guiding Star or one of the pregnancy homes, let us know. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, we praise you. You're giving us the courage to be here today at a difficult time in our nation, to stand with boldness for those who cannot stand for themselves. And Lord, we pray for the women who went into that place that we walked past today at Apple Tree, that place of death. We pray for their healing. We pray for someone who's waiting, Lord, that they just step out. We pray that our witness to those who are walking around us today will be that we are here to love them both, the child and the mother, to be with them at every stage in the months to come. Lord, help us be authentic witnesses. Help us be generous. Help us realize that we are here for the long fight of changing hearts one by one, just as you have changed our heart. We give you all glory and honor, and we promise that we will continue to fight until this Liberty Bell rings with justice for all, born and unborn. Let the people of God say, let the people of God say, let the people of God say,
I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in.